This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
As K-League takes a week off, we turn our attention to the Korean national team and the players making up Paulo Bento's first squad since the Asian Cup. We take a look at the domestic players that got the nod, players coming from abroad, including some notable new faces, and we answer your questions in the mailbag. All that and more in this edition of the K-League United Podcast. Hello, I'm Anaseo. Ryan Walters here in the K-League United bunker, joined, as always, by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And there's no K-League this week, so we're talking the Korean national team. So that naturally means that Steve Price is joining us. Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome back to the bunker.
It's good to be back, yeah. It's got a nice setup, some nice flags here, nice scarves. I'm not sure about that half and half Suwon scarf, though.
That's...
Okay, I mean, both of those are bad,
okay,
right?
The secret is out on this. That is half and half because only the bottom half shows up for the studio shows. So when we do a K1, you've got the Blue Wings half down bottom. And then when we do a K2, you flip it over and you got the Suwon FC.
I was
going to
say, both Suwons are in the bottom half, aren't they?
Hey. There it is. Yeah.
Some hate mail from Scott, then.
Thanks for calling me out on having a half-half scarf in my house in the first 2 minutes. It is strictly for studio purposes, as that has never been worn and never will be worn by me. But I'll tell you what, actually, and he's not here for this recording, so I'm just going to throw him under the bus. I'm going to say that if Suwon do finish in the bottom half, I'm going to make Scott Whitelock wear that to a game.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd go down very well with the Suwon Ultras.
Yep. Anyway, this is enough about the half-half scarf that's hanging in the corner. We are not here to talk about that. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's our other podcast, Scarves This Week. We are here to talk about the national team because they have a couple of friendlies coming up in a couple of days, and it'll be their first matches since they bowed out of the Asian Cup. So a lot to look forward to there and a few K-League players on the squad. But related to that, actually, we're going to be watching that match at El Juego Pub in Hongdae here in Seoul. We'll be doing that this Friday if you're listening to this before the match. If you're listening after, then you can catch us in April when we watch some AFC Champions League matches there. And we did that for the opening rounds. Pretty good time.
Yeah, it was great last week as well. It was good times that game as well. It was like an hour later.
Yeah.
So it was easy to go down there and watch the games. I think there's a bit too much Ulsan for match liking, but...
I preferred the first week to the second for result reasons.
Was a lot of fun because it ended up being a Buriram love fest, and everybody was kind of getting in Matt's face about Jungkook losing, and the smugness that usually comes with one Matthew Binns. It was nice to see you back down where we common folk live with a team that loses every now and again.
Yeah, wow. Well, I mean, I think we poorly timed that release of the last podcast as well.
Nah, it was fine. It was good. But yeah, we will be there in April. And also in April, if you would like to sign up, we do have another FIFA tournament coming up. That will be on April 7th. And we'll be doing some random teams for that one again. And if those aren't your thing, well, we're starting to play some pickup footy here in Seoul. We're doing 4v4 on a tiny little pitch on a rooftop. It's not exactly what I would call competitive, but it's a good kick around. It's fun. Steve, you and I play on a slightly more competitive league sometimes.
Yeah, it's good fun playing those small pitches, and yeah, you actually get to attack a bit if you're a defender, and get to defend a bit if you're a striker.
Yeah, so
it's good fun.
And hopefully, I'll just say it'll be more my level. I'm not going to throw you under the bus and say it'll be more our level than our current league, our men's league during the week, which, well, we're not bottom of the table.
Yet.
The K-League United team is not bottom of the table. We've got 3 match days to go and a 3-point buffer, I think. Yeah, anyway, that's in next week's podcast of Amateur Football Weekly, because who doesn't want that one? Anyway, moving on. That's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about the Korean national team because it's been a while since we've talked about them. And instead of going through the team as we've done in the past and kind of breaking down the roster just by the players that are there, because we like to focus on K-League and because it seems like there isn't necessarily enough of a light shined on the Korean players playing here domestically, we're going to start with our first segment and we're going to talk about the K-League players that are on this team. the Korean national team is playing at home because, again, they don't necessarily get a lot of the spotlight. Then, of course, in the second half, we're going to just throw all that out the window and talk about the K-League players abroad, the big-name stars, and a couple of new faces that have come into the squad. We're going to be talking match previews because they have Bolivia and Colombia coming up, which is starting to feel like something of a regularity here. Mm. Like, it's just when friendlies come around, let's just get these two teams. But, hey, if it works, it works. And then, of course, as always, we've got the mailbag coming up later. So let's just jump right into this. And let's talk about the Korean national team players that are playing here in K-League. To just run through it real quick, at goalkeeper, we've got Cho Hyun-woo, defenders Kim Jin-soo, Hong-chul, Choi Chul-sun, Kim Moon-hwan, and at midfield, Ju Sae-jung and Lee Jin-hyun from the Pohang Steelers. You'll notice there are no forwards in there, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But to start at the back of the line, Cho Hyun-woo's here, and that's no surprise. This is a man that I think a lot of people know already. And he's off to an okay start with Daegu, just one clean sheet so far this season. He's a steady presence back there, but I think, well, what I'm curious about is he going to get his starting spot back? Because it seemed like it was his for a while, and now it's Kim Sung-gyu's. And Steve, where do you weigh in on that?
Yeah, well, I think Kim Sung-gyu had a pretty impressive Asian Cup. He was solid in those games. He didn't really make any clangers that we're used to seeing from Korean keepers in the national team. So that was really good. And as we know, Cho Hyun-woo had a great World Cup as well. So it's great to finally have two goalkeepers who are actually decent. So if one gets injured, you've got a decent backup, whichever way that might go.
Right.
A lot of other K-League fans have been probably thinking, why have some other K-League goalkeepers not got in the squad? But they've the kind of ones that look like they might get in the squad at the end of last season have not really had a good start for their clubs.
I mean, correct.
Yang Hanbin's been dropped by FC Seoul. And for Jeonbuk, I mean, they've got Song Bom-gon in goal. But they brought in Lee Byung-young from Gangwon, even though he's now injured for the season. But yeah, it sounds like the Jeonbuk management's not that confident in Song like either. So it's a bit of an interesting one there.
That struck me as more of a depth issue because I think, well, one team, three championships was the tagline from a couple of players on the team. But again, they had that much confidence, the goalkeeper can play all.
When you're John Book, you don't need a goalkeeper. I mean, they let so few shots against them, right?
Well, I don't know. No recent matches, but yeah, no, it was. I think it was mainly to add depth there, just to quickly touch on that. But yeah, it's a pity he's out for the rest of the season. Not the rest of the season, but about 7 months. I think he's out for. It's about July or August. He's coming back,
but. I don't know if Song Bom-kun's going to get the call-up anytime soon. So right now, Cho Hyun-woo is the guy that we have representing K-League on the national team. And these are just a couple of friendlies where obviously Paulo Bento's looking for some things. Matt, do you expect Cho Hyun-woo to get some minutes in these games?
I expect him to start one of the minutes. Okay. One of the matches, just because... Why not experiment? As we said, we've got two very good goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. They both need time to run out. He hasn't played since November. His last stint in net was actually the 4-0 friendly win over Uzbekistan last November. And he didn't even get on the pitch in the Asian Cup. Rightly so.
Yeah.
Kim Sung-gyu's form was, you know,
had a good,
But I think he needs to have some more minutes in net. So I'd imagine he'd probably be played for the Bolivia game if I was going to choose out the two.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, I think, like we're saying, if you've got both of them, might as well give them both a look. And there is also Gu Sung-yun, who is in here, who's never played for the national team. And I wouldn't necessarily expect him to get any minutes right now, but I think he's kind of brought into camp to train with these two and to just get a feel for the national team.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 24, so I think even though he's played, you know, four seasons of first choice football in Japan, he's kind of brought in with half an eye on the future. And so that's why I thought maybe they'll bring in a Song from Jeonbuk, because for the same reason, or maybe even like Kang Hyun-woo from Pohang.
Speaking of keepers that haven't had a great start, Kong has not had the best of goes with Pohang, but Pohang hasn't had the best of goes with anything so far, so we'll see how that shakes out for him. But I mean, he is somebody else that maybe this is going to be kind of a rotating young keeper position that some K-leaguers could get into in the future. Moving on to the defense, well, we can't talk about the Korean national team defense without talking about Jumbo Hyundai Motors, can we, Matthew?
Well, no, you can't, but it's surprising that there's only two of them this time. Kim Jin-soo is in at left back, and it's good that, to see that he's back in the Korean lineup. He was there for the Asian Cup, of course, but last season he had a terrible season due to his injury, and he didn't play many games for Jeonbuk at all. He's come back to Jeonbuk this season, and he's been playing all right. I wouldn't say he's back to the stellar form that he was in 2017. Right. He had a bit of a bad weekend as well against Gangwon, where he kind of went missing for large portions of it before he was...
Literally missing,
yeah, at the end when he was sent up. I don't know what happened there, but that's a rant for another day. But yeah, when he is on form, he's one of the brighter left-back prospects in the division.
Yeah, definitely.
And he provides dangerous set pieces, and he still has that Bundesliga pedigree, even though it was a few years ago after playing for Hoffenheim. So, I naturally he should be called up. He's one of the best left backs for Korea at the moment.
Well, and it seems like a lot of that, and with a lot of these guys in general coming from K-League, it's kind of based on previous form because they've only had three matches, so you can't really think that too much of it is coming from those. And yeah, I think he's earned that call up with the way that he's played over the past couple of months in general. And
Well, I mean, if you're managing the national team, if you start picking players on form all the time, you can really end up with no cohesion at all in your team because, you know, you only have the players for a few days. So you'll be changing your players so much that they can't form any kind of understanding of their teammates or anything like that. So picking any players based on their start to the season in the K-League this season would be maybe a bit of a strange move if that had happened. For the left back, you can pretty much see how Bento wants to have that done. He's got Kim Jin-soo and Hong Chul, and in the Asian Cup he basically rotated between the two of them, one for one game, one for the other. So I'd imagine for these two games we'll see one of them starting against Bolivia and the other against Colombia.
Yeah, and to just touch on that other left back choice, Hong Chul, definitely somebody that's here not on recent form because things have not been going well for the Blue Wings in the league defensively. But I mean, he's somebody that I just enjoy watching him play, and I do think that he's a really good option over there. And hopefully things will turn around for the Suwon fans that are listening after we've already gone over the scarf issue and everything else. But I think Hong Chul is quality, and I think that's the reason that he's here. And like you say, I think he offers a lot of cohesion to that back line. And another regular call-up is Choi Chul-soon, who is from Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors, so once again, we go over to Matthew.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't actually say he's a regular call-up, though. In fact, this was quite surprising to me. Jeonbuk's three defenders that have been called up in previous friendlies and the Asian Cup were always Kim Jin-soo, Lee Yong, and Kim Min-jae. Now, Kim Min-jae's gone to Beijing. He is on this list, but he plays for Beijing now, and Lee Yong is out for a month. So Choi Chul-soon, he's had 11 appearances for Korea, but this is the first time he's been called up under Paolo Bento. He last made an appearance actually for Korea against Poland in a friendly quite a while back. When Jeonbuk's players are fit as well, Che isn't the first choice, but he is the first to be called upon because he can play anywhere. Last season he played mostly on the left back because he covered for Kim Jin-soo. This season he's playing at right back because he's covering for Lee Yong. Before both of those two players came to the club, he was playing in the centre. He also played defensive midfield. He's just got all of that back line covered, and I think that's how he'll be used here. He's just an option to bring off the bench. I don't think he's better than the other defenders in this squad, but I think he provides a good backup option.
Yeah, and that versatility, like you say, I think is probably what's got him into the squad again.
Yeah, well, for me, like, I think the reason he's really got into this squad is pretty much just because Lee Yong's been injured. And I mean, when you look at the right back position, it's very clear that Bento prefers Lee Yong. He played him for almost all of the games in the Asian Cup, and in that other game he played Kim Moon-hwan. So I'm guessing in these two friendlies we'd see a lot more of Kim Moon-hwan, who's only 23. He's kind of coming up, and if I was guessing what the team would be, the lineup for those friendlies, I'd guess that Kim will start both of them, and Choi will be on the bench for both of them. Because I mean, he's 32; he's not going to be really at his top by the time the World Cup rolls around. So I think he's just there because Lee Yong's injured.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think Kim Min-hwan, this is his moment to shine. We've got
it is.
Lee Yong was obviously sat in front of him, and now it's his for them. He's got the perfect opportunity to take it. He obviously had a very good season for Busan I Park last year. helped lead them to the playoff final. He was also was in the Asian Games squad that got the gold medal, so he's military exempt. I'm quite looking forward to seeing more from him actually now he's getting a start.
Well, and I'll go ahead and put you on the hot seat here and ask, is it time for E-Young, not to step aside, but is it time, do you think, for Kim Moon-hwan to be getting more of the minutes and to kind of be taking that over looking towards the next World Cup? Because really, that's what we're building towards here. Like, this is one of the first games to start building towards that World Cup. So what would you do, Steve? I'll turn to you, and then we'll go back to Matt, because it's Jumbo, because always. But yeah, if you're Paulo Bento and you're looking at the right back situation, are you moving E-Young out sooner than later?
I think if he was fit, then they would have played E-Young in one game and Kim Moon-hwan in the other, in the same kind of way as I think they'll do for left back. You've got to have more than one player in each position, and it's kind of the idea probably to have E-Young there as the main guy and then have Kim Moon-hwan, but give him lots of minutes and give him lots of chances in the national team as kind of the understudy. And you know, sooner he'll get, as soon as he gets better and better, he'll get more and more minutes.
Yeah. Matthew?
I think E-Young, when it's time to be phased out, and I think he's a great player. I think he's fantastic. But we've got 4 years until the World Cup comes around. We need to start Korea needs to start bringing through their younger talent. You don't need to throw everything out, and I still think E-Young's got a place in this squad. I just think it needs to become Kim Min-hwan's starting spot with E-Young offering the competition.
Yeah.
But for now, E-Young is still the better of the two.
Yeah, and well, and like you say, I think this is a perfect opportunity for Kim Moon-hwan to show what he can do. I mean, we all know that he's really great on the overlap, but at times the attack can entirely flow through E-Young, and I don't think Kim Moon-hwan is there yet. He does offer pace down the wing, obviously, but he's not quite the complete player that E-Young is just yet. So hopefully getting minutes like this in... I mean, you know, we joked about Bolivia and Colombia kind of being the ones that they always pick up the phone to call, but like these are some pretty good teams to be playing against, especially Colombia is going to offer him a really stiff test. So he's going to have to play both ways pretty hard if that's the match that he ends up getting a start in. So we'll see what comes of that. Moving up the field just a little bit, a man that is, well, almost always in the squad these days, Jusei Jung from Asan Magungwa. And man, really want him back with FC Seoul sooner than later, because he hasn't really slowed down at all. He looks good for Asan yet again this year. Again, we've talked about this before. He is in the K2, which I think he is a player that is above the second division level, but he's doing his military service, so, you know, what can he do? And I think that he's probably going to start one of these games, if not both. I think he offers a lot in the middle. And we have a question about this in the mailbag about Ki Sung Young retiring and the absence in the midfield. So we'll save a little bit of that for that conversation with Jusei Jung moving forward. But Steve, what is it about him that either impresses you, or where do you think he's coming into this camp?
Yeah, I mean, with Ki retiring, I think he's going to be playing in that role in these two games as one of those two holding midfielders. And you can see, he's 28. He's at his kind of career's peak at the moment. And he's still going to be around for the next three or four years or so. It depends a lot on like how much you can maintain that form. But he's really looking top at the moment. And so I think he's going to be in the starting lineup for at least one, but maybe both of those games.
Yeah, because I think that is a position that you need to lock down sooner than later. Who's playing the six is going to be really important for this team, especially the transitions, I think, need to be a little bit more crisp than they were in the Asian Cup. And I think that he's somebody that could help with that. Also, there are some options abroad, but I think of the K-League players, I think Jusei Jung is the one that's going to be playing that shuttler role a lot. So somebody else that's finally getting a look at the national team is Lee Jin-hyun from the Pohang Steelers. This will be just his third cap with the national team. How many minutes are we expecting him to get?
Yeah, I mean, he's done the Asian Games and he got a gold medal there. And he was in the Asian Cup as the kind of backup player. So they had a few injuries ahead of the Asian Cup, and those players are waiting on the fitness for. So he was brought along and he trained with the team while those players were recovering. So he's really got to know these national team players a lot. And yeah, I think he's one that Bento is kind of thinking is going to be there over the next 4 years and developing and playing with the squad more and more and more. So, yeah, I think because it's they're two friendly matches, we'll see quite a few minutes from him as well.
And it would be great to see him get some minutes with the national team right now because things are, as we've mentioned, things are not going well for the Pohang Steelers in the league. And I think he's a player that could shine on, on an individual stage a little bit here. And I don't know if it'll turn around into club form, but at the very least, hopefully he can enjoy his football for a little bit because I don't think that he would be right now with the way things are going in Pohang. But that's it for the K-League side, the K-League players coming into this side. And again, there's a little bit in the mailbag about maybe some potential new faces that could come into the K-League. But anything else before we get out of here, before the break?
So, I mean, people probably are going to look at this and think there's only seven K-League players in the K-League side. But that's not strictly, I mean, strictly that is true, but it's not really true because the K-League season's just started and there's four players in this side who would have been in the K-League at the end of last season who've literally just moved away. So the last real footballing chance for Bento to watch them playing football would have been at club level in the K-League. So really, even though there's seven in the side, you could say there's kind of like 11 in the side.
I'll take that math. Sure.
Yeah, no, I was first going to say that, yeah, there's four players that have just left and they should be included. Bit of a left field thing I was going to say as well, because when I was looking up Ju Sejong, I just rolled it back a little bit. I think what surprised me was that he's statistically slightly inferior to Im Yong-ju, who is the same age as him. And they play similar positions for us, and I'd probably say Ju Sejong might be slightly more held back a little bit. But he still gets goals. He doesn't get as many goals as Im Yong-ju, but Im Yong-ju's only got five to Ju Sejong's one. Im Yong-ju is also more effective with his shooting and things.
Yeah.
I think Ju Sejong deserves to be in there because he's been in the Asian Cup. He's part of that squad. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what we were saying, you've got to create that cohesion and things. I just think it just interested me. That was all. When I was looking up Ju Sejong, I thought he's actually not one of the better players in this Asan team. He's a very good player for this Asan team, but he's not the best there.
Well, I think I fully expect Hwang In-bum to be playing in the more of the attacking midfield role, and I think Ju Sejong offers a little bit more defensively. And Im Yong-ju is decent defensively, but I think he offers a lot more going forward, and they don't necessarily need that as much.
You'd say that, but he's dominated him in tackles and in nearly every statistic. Im Yong-ju comes on top. So, it's a slight, you know, Paolo Bento knows more than me, and I think Ju Sejong is a very good player. I don't want to knock on Ju Sejong.
How dare you?
But yeah, I just thought it was interesting that he's not the best. I don't think he's actually one of the best players in his team, and a player who plays in a very similar position does quite well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Im Yong-ju is somebody that gets a shout in future matches because, yeah, like you say, they are both playing very similar roles and they are just dominating the midfield for Asan. That one game against Gwangju aside, when I think they'd rather forget that one sooner than later. But moving on from the midfield, well, we can't talk about any forwards in the K-League group because there are only two forwards on this squad, and we will touch on them and the other foreign players right after a quick break.
FNR is a revolutionary football-dedicated digital platform, the first of its kind in Australia. It provides a 24/7 live online radio platform experience, podcast hub, and acts as a content provider for TV, radio, and digital. Having reached millions of listeners and football fans since launching 13 months ago, FNR is accessible worldwide via its website or app, providing a platform to discuss, debate, and celebrate the world game. We are your voice of football, FNR Football Nation Radio.
And welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I am your host, Ryan Walters. And because we're talking the national team, I am joined by Steve Price.
Hey, how's it going?
And because it's Korean football and the national team and Jungbook and everything, Matt Pins is here.
Hello.
Hi, Matt. I just had to. Anyway, we just finished talking about the Korean national team players that are plying their trade here in Korea. And now we move on to the players that get a lot more of the headlines, and rightfully so, in a lot of cases, but we are moving on to the players abroad, and we'll start at the back where Kim Sung-gyu is coming in and expected to get at least one of the starts, and as we already touched on, Gu Sung-yun is here as well from Consadole Sapporo, a team that I just love watching for Chonathip, so always happy to have a Korean goalkeeper there for them.
Yeah.
But we kind of touched on these guys already, and I don't think there's too much to add there. I think a lot of the elements of their game is already known. And, yeah, Kim Sung-yu is fantastic, and I expect him to be the number one heading in.
Yeah, I think the only interesting thing is that Kim Jin-hyun isn't in this team, which for me is a good thing because he's, whenever I've seen him for the national team, he's not looked as good as the other two by quite a long way. So it's good to see a new face coming in that third goalkeeper role.
Yeah. So I think we'll just move right past the goalkeepers because we talked about that quite a bit with Cho Hyun-woo already. So moving into the defense, and again, this is on top of the K-League players that are here. We have Kim Young-kwon, Kim Min-jae, as a player abroad, Jung Sung-hyun, Kwon Kyung-won, and Park Ji-soo, and, well, quite a few of them are plying their trade over in China right now. What are the names that stand out defensively for you guys?
I mean, yeah, that's a thing about China. It's a big thing we're talking about with Kim Min-jae when he went to Beijing. But for Park Ji-soo, it's actually a much bigger problem because he joined Evergrande, and they've got a kind of self-enforced rule. Of course, the Chinese football make up their own rules as they go along, so it's always a danger going there.
Yeah.
But when the club makes its own rule against you, that's just ridiculous. And they basically made a rule where in the Chinese Super League season, they can only have two foreigners in their side. And with the other two big money Brazilians there, Park Ji-soo seems to be the one who's missing out. So he's only played the two ACL games this season, basically because of that rule, and it makes him at 24, he's been kind of developing as a player. He's played a lot, and then he's now going to China. He's going to maybe have a year or two of not really getting enough games to develop fully, and that could be a problem down the line, which we've seen in the past for this national team with players going to China.
Yeah, I'd agree, and I think the Park Ji-soo transfer got overlooked a little bit because of the Kim Min-jae transfer that was happening at the same time. There was a lot of furore about Kim Min-jae not getting the game time, whereas he has, Beijing seems to have bought him with a purpose, and he's been played in Beijing. But yeah, Park Ji-soo, he was talented, talented wing back for Gangnam, and he's not getting the game time now. And
yeah,
but he's been called up to this squad.
Do you think part of that is just kind of getting him match minutes? Is it a bit of a favor in a way? I mean, obviously he's got the quality to be here.
I mean, as I was saying before, I think this team was kind of selected not before the season started, but not with the start of the season in mind. So he was kind of picked on last year's form, kind of the long-term form of a player, and also because of his age, because he's 24. And when you're thinking 4 years down the road, with defenders, you can get away with it a bit more. You can have 33-year-old defenders in your team in the World Cup and get away with it a bit. But you want to bring the next generation through.
Correct.
And him and Jung Sung-hyun, they're the next generation. They're both 24. They're going to be hitting their peak in 2022.
Yeah. So a lot to watch for from them. Are any of them, any of the guys abroad playing defensively, are any of them like the one player that you would key in on this team? Nope, moving on. All right, we're going to move into the midfield. And, well, it's always interesting when these teams come out because some of these guys are listed in the midfield, and I don't really think that's where they belong. But anyway, just to run down the list, we have Lee Chung-young, Sung Hung-min, who I don't think we're going to... He's good. He's good. We're not going to talk about him too much. We have Jung Woo-young, Lee Jae-sung, who... Oh, another one. Sorry, Matt. Kwang Chan-hoon, that's exciting to see him back on the side. Hwang In-bum, always happy to see him here. Lee Sung-woo is back with the team again. Na Sang-ho, Kim Jung-min, Lee Kang-in, and Park Sung-ho. Of them, well, let's just start right away with the youngsters that are here. They're going to be getting their first cap. And let's just jump right in and talk about Lee Kang-in getting his first cap hopefully his first cap. Hopefully he'll start. But at 18 years of age from Valencia, coming over to play with the full national team, this is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to not have like super high expectations.
Sure.
So I think, as I was saying, with the national team, you want to bring in players slowly over time and get them used to the whole national team setup, how the team's playing, so that they, you know, rather than just picking players on form or anything like that. So he's been brought in not based on his form as an 18-year-old, but based on maybe his potential in 4 years' time or whatever. He's played, he's got six starts in the Copa del Rey, and he's had a few minutes in La Liga and in the Europa League. So he's been playing a bit of football at a very high level with Valencia. Mm-hmm. I think next season's going to be the big season for him. That's when he might be able to really either break into Valencia's team or get a loan and get that 30, 40 games a season. And so that's when he's going to be really key. I think this time he's going to be on the bench to start and then probably come on for a few minutes towards the end or in the second half in these games.
Yeah, and that sentiment of kind of tamping expectations a little bit is something that Son Heung-min has echoed in his media appearances so far, saying that it's great to see young guys like him in the team, but don't put too much pressure on them. Don't put too much weight on their shoulders. And yeah, I definitely think that's true. I think it's great that he is getting the call up. And again, as we've talked about with other positions, I think a lot of it could just be to get used to the senior team's camp, just to get a feel for it, see what it's like, get used to some of the players that are going to be there. But I mean, either way, at 18 years of age, and like you say, playing in Europa League, it's exciting to see what Lee Kang-in might be able to do.
Yeah, I do. I'm always a bit worried about the age of these players. I felt like there's a lot of hype around Lee Sung-woo, sure, and Park Sung-ho as well, who are both in this squad. But when they first broke out a couple of years ago, I felt that, and perhaps it's just in Korea, but it's the hype builds to unattainable levels. And
sure,
I worry about Lee Kang-in because I think he does look like he could be the real deal, based on the highlights and the records I've seen. But I still think it's too young. I understand the point, he has to be involved in the setup and stuff, but I think I'd prefer to see him spend a little bit longer at the youth level of Korea. But he's in the squad now. I just hope that people remember that he's 18 years old.
Sure.
Yeah, I think if he was brought in the Asian Cup, I'd totally agree with you then. It's too young. But I mean, these are friendly matches, and as I say, it's kind of just get him in the squad just to get him used to it. And as long as people come into it not expecting him to go and score a hat-trick against Colombia or something like that,
sure,
then he should be okay.
But we totally expect him to score a hat-trick against Colombia.
I just reckon he'll score a two.
Yeah, just the brace, just to win it late. But legitimately, though, how many minutes do we see him getting? Do you see him getting anything near even 15 minutes?
I'd be shocked if he started. It'd be it's going to be. Yeah, I personally think it's going to be just like 15 minutes at the end of one of the games, possibly against Bolivia.
Yeah, Korea have so many options in that forward line, so all of them are going to want to get minutes, and Benzema is going to try and give as many of them minutes as possible. With Lee Kang-in being the youngest and the least experienced out of them, he's probably going to be the one who gets, you'd imagine, the least minutes. But he'll still get some minutes, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. And somebody else that I think is going to be fighting for those minutes, and a player that we've talked quite a bit about, somebody that came through the Barcelona youth setup along with Lee Sung-woo, is Park Sung-ho, who is hoping to see his first cap with a national team and follow a little bit in Lee Sung-woo's footsteps, who's potentially getting into double digits with the senior national team as far as appearances go. And is he a player that you would put into the same category as Lee Kang-in, of just kind of get him into the squad and maybe get him 10, 15 minutes?
It's quite interesting with him because he's not actually had that many minutes in La Liga, but he's played against all the big teams, Barcelona, Atletico, Real Madrid. So he's played in kind of big games in his very, very short amount of time on the pitch. Yeah, I think he's just been brought in again with a few seasons down the line in mind. So maybe we'll see a lot of him in a year's time. But now I think we'll just see him getting a few minutes here, a few minutes there.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. I think he's for the future. I mean, it was terrible what happened. Not terrible. You know, it was unfortunate what happened to him and Lee Sung-woo with Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And they both had to go on and rebuild their careers elsewhere. And I'm glad to see that he's starting to get a bit of recognition, and he was in the Girona B squad, and he was there for a while. He's in there for 18 months in the Spanish second division, so he has been promoted up to La Liga.
Yeah.
So they obviously believe in him at Girona. Mm-hmm. So I think he's probably less of a risk than Lee Kang-in. He's clearly they've got a future for him at club level. It looks like the club are interested in developing him further. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're doing the same with Lee Kang-in at Valencia this season. But yeah, it's good for him to be in, but you'll probably only get a few minutes as well, I think.
Sure. Well, I think the guy that I'm highlighting here that I'm looking forward to, obviously I'm looking forward to seeing those two, and Hwang In-bum returning to the national team after some really, really quality matches with Vancouver Whitecaps, and following, probably is the only one on this podcast that follows MLS Twitter very carefully. The Whitecaps fans are quite enamored with him already, very impressed with him, and his player rating in the first couple of matches for them, he's been in the top three, I believe, in individual player ratings for them in each match. So I'm excited for fans over in North America to be hopefully tuning in and seeing him on the national team stage as he's done before. And again, I think he's going to be stepping into that attacking midfield role. So that's exciting. But someone that's technically listed as a midfielder here, but I still think of him as a forward from last year with Gwangju, I'm really curious to see what Na Sang Ho can do. And he hasn't really got a lot of time with Tokyo yet, but the striker position, it's almost always there for the taking in Korea and with this national team. And he's someone that showed some promise last year in K2. It'd be really interesting to see if he can translate that over into J1. And I think of all of the players, I think he might be the one that if he has a good couple of games, and I know these are just friendlies, and we always say friendlies don't matter, but they can. And I think for him, if he can get some minutes and if he can get some goals, then he might start getting some more time in J1, which would be huge. And I mean, look what happened to Hwang Hee-jo when he started getting some meaningful minutes over in J1 and what it's done for his career. So hopefully we can see Na Sang Ho do something similar.
Yeah, well, I think with Hwang In-bum, Bento's definitely on the Hwang train. He's going to be picking this guy all the time. He's pretty much seen as the replacement for Ki Sung-young now.
Yeah.
But with Na Sang Ho, I mean, he's not playing much. He's only had a few minutes off the bench in the league for FC Tokyo, who are top of J1. They've started very well. Mm-hmm. So it's always sometimes a little bit hard because coaches don't always like to change a winning team.
Right.
But it seems the Tokyo coach disagrees with you. I mean, he started two games in the League Cup, but both of those were in midfield as left midfield and right midfield, rather than as a forward.
And I mean, and maybe that's where he should play, because we have seen this before in K2. Well, I mean, we see it all the time in K-League. A lot of times a Brazilian defender will come over and then play up front, or we don't even have to look at the foreign examples. Go-Yohan was a right back 2 years ago. So, I mean, there's a very famous example of a very tall man playing for Jeonbuk that used to be a defender, Kim Shin-uk. So I think
that's because he can play in any position. Right?
We could have a whole team.
I dream of a team of Kim Shin-uk's.
I mean, that really should just be the Korean national team, entire team of Kim Shin-uk.
Once we master cloning, it's sorted.
But
anyway,
World Cup, here we come. Anyway, yeah, I mean, maybe this is a better position for him in midfield, and I think that would be another interesting thing to see if he fits better playing a little bit back from the forward line where he was with Gwangju. Because again, you know, last year he was Gwangju's only hope last year in a lot of ways. And so it'll be interesting to see how he fits into this team. And I do hope that he gets some meaningful minutes to test that out. So he's the one to watch for me.
I think for me, I'm quite happy to see Kwon Chan-hun back in the squad. He was ruled out just before the World Cup with that horrific injury.
It was a real big shame.
It's taken him a long time to get back. He wasn't fit enough to be included in the Asian Cup. And rightly so, you know, he hadn't played any games.
Right.
But it's good to see him back. He was a promising talent. He was doing very well at Dijon last season. He had scored 11 in 34 last year for them, and he got 3 assists as well. He's actually not played that. He's played 12 times this year, which is not bad considering he's recovering. They clearly favour him highly there. And unfortunately, Dijon are currently in 19th this season and fighting relegation, but that's probably not on him.
I would imagine not. Not with the minutes that he's been getting.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a financially struggling club. The manager always rolls out the cliche that he's like a new signing.
Yeah.
But for me, yeah, like having Kwon Chang-hoon back in the side, he's the player I'm most excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when he was in the national team last, when he was just coming up with Suwon, he was really pulling out those performances where you thought this guy's going to be the next key guy for the national team. And if he wasn't injured, I think Korea's World Cup could have looked a little bit different, little bit more exciting with some better attacking play at least.
Well, and hopefully we see that in these friendlies. And well, we'll talk about that when we talk about what to look for in these games. But just to preview it a little bit, hopefully some more exciting attacking football, especially because it's not in a tournament where you have to get results, and hopefully they'll be looking more for form here. But to wrap up the players abroad that are coming into the team, we have Ji Dong-won and Hwang Hee-jo as the only two forwards listed here. And again, I think the reason that I peg Na Sang-ho is because, you know, he did play forward last year, and he could be somebody to come up, but I don't think Ji Dong-won's not going to be a part of the long-term plan here going into the World Cup, is he?
I think it seems like Hwang Hee-jo is going to be that guy moving forwards, but you can't change your entire team straight away. So there's a few golden oldies in here. I mean, there's Lee Chung-yong in midfield as well.
Right.
And just, you know, to help the team transition. And, you know, you've still got to win games even when you're playing the youngsters. So you've got to have players who are at the peak now as well as players who are going to be at their peak in 4 years' time. And Ji Dong-won, he's a pretty good player. I mean, he's playing in the Bundesliga. He's scored twice against Borussia Dortmund this season. I mean, I don't think there's anyone else in this national team who could say they've done that apart from maybe Son Heung-min.
Well, he loves playing against Dortmund, doesn't he? But, you know, Ji is somebody that hasn't scored for the national team in about 2 years. And, you know, I call him up, sure, because he's in good form. But he's somebody that I would expect to kind of transition out. Like we were talking about Lee Young a little bit earlier, and I think that's somebody that'll be transitioned out before the World Cup. And I think Ji Dong-won is somebody that will be as well. So I mean,
we already saw it in the Asian Cup. In that competition, that's a competition where you pick your best team. And Hwang Hee-jo was getting a call up over him for the starting role. So yeah, already he's number two rather than number one for that striking, like number one striking position.
Yeah, and we have a question in the mailbag again, preview in the mailbag, but we do have a question in the mailbag a little bit about this. So I think we'll just end it there with the players abroad. And again, Sung Heung-min's here. He's amazing.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Turns out he is pretty good at this, and there are a lot of other people that talk about him a lot. So we're just going to put a pin in that and say that he's amazing, and we look forward to watching him play every time he touches the field. So with that, we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about these matches that are coming up.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at @KLeagueUnited with any questions, comments or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
And welcome back to this edition of the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And because we're talking national team, Steve Price.
Hey, how's it going?
I should stop leading in with that. We'll have you on for other non-national team shows, but you are undoubtedly our go-to national team guy.
You're having me on for the football next week, the amateur football.
That's true. Yeah, when we come back for this week in amateur football. And that we talk this way the whole time for that show. It's annoying. Anyway, we are not here to talk about our ridiculous antics in men's league. We are here to talk about real men that play real football. We're talking about the Korean national team. And they have a couple of matches coming up, some friendlies against Bolivia and Colombia. And Steve, you have a preview that's going to be coming up on kleagueunited.com later this week talking about these matches. So let's start with Bolivia. That's going to be this Friday for folks that are listening live or, you know, as the podcast comes out. So what are we looking for in that match?
Yeah, well, I mean, not to give too much away because, you know, please read my preview about Bolivia. But yeah, I mean, they played just ahead of the World Cup, one of the matches against Korea in a warm-up games in Austria. That game was 0-0. Since then, they've got in a new coach. And from what I've heard, the reason they got him in is because he kind of knows the younger players. Mm-hmm. He, you know, managed them at club level a lot. And they've got quite a young kind of domestic-based squad. So for me, they're a little bit similar to Paulo Bento when he managed at Portugal with his players from Lisbon coming in there. So it could be quite interesting. In the past, traditionally, I mean, they're very defensive away from home. But hopefully they'll try and be a little bit more expansive. And when it comes to Korea, I guess based on the players we've got in this lineup, they're going to probably play a similar way to they played in the Asian Cup, so that 4-2-3-1 kind of formation against both Bolivia and Colombia, which will be quite interesting. And moving on to Colombia, I mean, we can remember the freezing cold weather in Suwon On right on the top of the stands when they played last time. That game was 2-0, but Korea played that game with a kind of counter-attacking 4-4-2 style with Son Heung-min as a striker. I don't think we're going to see that this time.
Sure.
I think we're going to see Bento stick to his formation of the 4-2-3-1 formation. And so it'll be interesting to see how that goes against Colombia, because we saw that counter-attacking style was successful, the 4-4-2, last time. So will this other formation also work, or will it not? Of course, that last time, Colombia were very jet-lagged.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was quite a feisty game. And we'll talk about that when we look at the squad as well. They've got a new manager coming in. And, you know, luckily for people who are not racist, the guy who did the... The guy who did the racist gestures in that game is not in the squad. So hopefully there'll be none of that sort of thing in this match against Colombia. And I'm most looking forward to seeing they've got their big guns coming out in that game. They've mm-hmm. got James, they've got Falcao, they've got Davinson, Sanchez, Yerry Mina. So they've got all their kind of best players apart from maybe Jan Cuadrado, who's injured, and Carlos Bacca, who for some reason didn't get called up. They've also got the new manager, Carlos Queiroz, who's going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Iran, when he was in charge, were kind of Korea's bogey team. They really struggled to get past him. I mean, he's only been in charge of Colombia for a few minutes, basically. But it's still interesting to see him on the sidelines and seeing if Bento can get past him, because they never got the chance to meet in the Asian Cup.
Yeah, and I think Colombia, it's one of those ones where it's weird to have a team from that far across the world, from South America, to be, it kind of feels like it's becoming a bit of a rivalry with how much they've played each other recently, and because of the on-field and off-field antics from a lot of the players, some just ridiculous racist gestures, and just cut it out. But it, man, how satisfying was that win, though? You know, seeing those idiots do that stuff on the field, and then Korea just, yeah, okay, we'll just win the game. You know?
And that player also kind of pretty much ruined his national team career by doing that. So also it's kind of a bit of comeuppance there.
Yeah, but I think it's one where, especially for those of us trying to get a little bit more attention on the K-League, we struggle a lot of times with fans here wanting to just talk about the European players and everything else. And I think that playing against Colombia and so many of the European-based stars that they have, seeing some of the K-League players potentially shine, you know, a lot of the defenders that we were talking about that we fully expect to get the start. I think, obviously, there'll be a lot of players coming from abroad, but Kim Moon-hwan is somebody that we talked about that's probably going to get the start at right back. And, boy, he's going to have some trouble, or, you know, potential trouble, at least an interesting matchup mm-hmm. against Colombia. So it'll be interesting to see how our domestic players here in K-League can stack up against Colombia and Bolivia.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of test for them, because so many games Korea are playing as a team with the possession mm-hmm. and as a team attacking, and so getting to play these friendly games against teams which will come at you kind of gives those players a test which they need.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they play a lot of teams from South America because of the way the world fixtures work out with all the European teams playing each other in now the European Cup qualifiers, but then in the Nations League.
Mm.
So because of the way that all works out, they have to play a lot of South American teams.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives them that kind of extra interesting kind of matchup.
So moving on from the anything off-field or any potential rivalries that are brewing or anything else, what do we want to see from Korea in these matches? Because these are friendly matches. Again, these are the first matches that we've seen since the Asian Cup, which to me is the true reset of the cycle. Usually we think of things in World Cup cycles, but with the Asian Cup happening so close after the World Cup, I kind of include that in that same cycle there. So to me, these are the first matches of a new cycle of Paulo Bento's, you know, it's not really the beginning of his run, obviously, but like it's the beginning of his ramp up to the World Cup, obviously. So what do we want to see out of this?
Yeah, you can see that with the players he selected. These are players who are at the start of their career now, and mm-hmm. They're going to be there in 4 years' time. You know, it's like when you're watching something like Game of Thrones, when the last episode there was that big death scene, and that's kind of how the Asian Cup ended. And there's certain characters like Ki Sung-young who are not with us anymore,
So you're saying the Asian Cup was the Mountain versus the Viper for the crossover pod
and
of
so
Game
this
of
is,
Thrones and K-League.
This is like the next episode in that. And yep. So there's going to be a bit of a slow build-up when we're getting to learn about all these new characters, these new players coming into the team. So it'll be interesting to see how they come in. But it maybe doesn't have that kind of storyline like behind all these players yet so sure. far. They're really at the start of that. So for me, that was maybe one thing about it, which makes it a little bit less interesting for people. It's that episode after the night before kind of thing.
Okay.
What I'd like to see is already Paolo Bente, he said getting the defenses sorted is kind of easy, but getting the attack sorted is more difficult.
Yeah.
And I think he's done that with the defense. Defense looks solid, but he's got work to do with the attack. So I'd like to see him really work on the attack and see some exciting attacking play.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm looking forward to seeing these the new characters, as you so elegantly put it. It's a friendly. It's a new dawn, new hope. Get all my references in there. Crossed
sure.
over and
get
mangled.
Them in.
Maybe the Force will awaken. Anyway, no, stop it, Matthew. But yeah, it's a clean slate. I think we can put the Asian Cup behind us. It was disappointing, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. There is this young talent now, which was always promised. Yeah, bring them in. Let's have a look at them, even if it's only for 10-15 minutes. And hopefully we can have some good performances as well. Because when the national team does well, the K-League does well.
True. Yeah, and for me, it's real simple. I just want to be entertained. I want to have fun watching this team. And they have that in their locker. They can do that sometimes. But, Steve, I think this kind of touches on what you were talking about playing attacking football, and especially with a lot of the Asian competition that Korea plays against, I would expect them to play more attacking, and hopefully they can kind of figure that out in these matches. And I don't care if they lose either of these games because it doesn't count for anything. I'd rather see them build, and I'd rather see, you know, there's so much potential in that midfield we talked about. That's where the bulk of this roster is in midfield, and they're going to have to become part of the attack because there just isn't a lot of options up top right now. So they've got to figure out a way to get the midfield integrated, and maybe that's through the wings, maybe that's coming right up the middle. Again, Hwangeun-bum is in really good form right now. Maybe he's somebody that can kind of come up there. But I want to see them just play some entertaining attacking football, which sure, yeah, okay, that's cliche. Everybody wants that, right? But at times it's a grind watching the national team play, to be flat honest about it. Like they can be a bit turgid at times. It's tough sometimes, but you know, that's what you need in competitions. That's what you need in the Asian Cup. That's what you need in the World Cup. You have to win these games, so you have to kind of sit back and play defensively. But now they don't have that, and to me, there's never going to be a time better than this to just take the shackles off and just see what these talented players can do moving forward. And so like that's what I want to see out of these two games. Right. Well, those are the matches that we have coming up, and we have just a little bit more to touch on from some questions in the mailbag, which we will get to after a very quick break.
Looking to spend some downtime with friends and fellow gamers in Seoul? Drop by Retro Game Bar. Located in Hongdae near Sangsu Station Exit 1, RGB is a retro game-inspired bar where you can play any and all types of games. Test their bartenders' drink mixing capabilities or watch a game cast of your choosing. For those with a competitive side, sign up for monthly tournaments including Tekken, Mario Kart and K-League United's FIFA 19 competitions. Follow RGB on Facebook for tournament info and details on other events throughout the month. Mention that you're a fan of K-League United to their hard-working bartenders when you stop by for a starter shot to kick off the evening. Game on!
Welcome back to the K-League United podcast, and we are into the mailbag here. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined by Steve Price.
Hey, how's it going?
And to lead us through the mailbag, we have Matthew Binns. And Matthew, before you even get to say hello, you don't get a hello. What do we got in the mailbag this week?
Well, once again, it sounds like we're in the mailbag and I'm guiding us out of it once more.
As always.
We've got Todd Wild on Twitter. He's got two questions for us, so it's a two-parter. We'll start with this one. With the retirement of Key leaving a big hole in midfield for Korea, who is the ideal replacement to step in now?
There's a lot of really key language in there, I think. Who's the ideal replacement to step in now? Like right now, if, and this is, I'll phrase it this way first. If you had to win a match on Friday, if this was a must-win game, who would you replace Key with? And Steve, I'll start with you.
My answer is going to be the same for whether we have to play this game now or the same theoretical game in a few years' time, and it's going to be Hwang In-bom.
Sure. Yeah. And he's definitely proven that he's capable of that with his play for the national team over the past year. And like I said, he's in really good form with Vancouver right now. Yeah, I mean, I think he's the player that I would slot right in there.
Yeah, I like Hwang In-bom. I was also going to say I'm willing to back Ju Sejong, I think, as well. Quite.
You want Im Young-joo over him?
No, I really don't.
Matt's just obsessed
both
with.
Players.
I was going to say, just obsessed with FC Seoul midfielders.
I do like Ju Sejong. I think what I've seen from him in club and at country form, I think there's a lot of promise there. And yeah, he is 28, so maybe he's not one for the future, but he's got a more mature head there in the centre of midfield. I'd like to back him.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the real question was going to be about Jong Eun-young. And I mean, he's getting a bit older now. I mean, who's going to be replacing him as well? That seems to be a position where there's not many young players really coming through. And so it's a slight concern looking towards the future of the national team. Are there going to be many more players in that kind of like slightly defensive midfield, those kind of roles kind of coming through the team to really give the team that kind of solid base to build on?
Han Chan-hee.
I'm going to talk about him later, yeah.
If he ever gets some minutes for the Dragons.
Well, later.
Yeah, all right, moving on.
Are there any, still from Todd, are there any young players in the Korean leagues that could provide a challenge in the next 3-year cycle before the World Cup?
Han Chan-hee.
I guess it wasn't that that much later.
No.
at the same time as these games, Bolivia and Colombia, the Korean under-22 team are starting their Olympic quest for medal glory and military exemption. And they're off with 3 matches, one against Cambodia, one, I think, against Taiwan, and one against Australia. All those matches are being played in Cambodia. And I think a lot of the players in that team are going to be the ones who are not in this starting squad who will be there, perhaps, if they kind of improve in their careers and hit their potential. Players like, as we said, Han Chan-hee for John Nam, and Cho Yong-yuk from SC Seoul, Kim Dae-won from Daegu, was it Lee Dong-gyeong from Ulsan, all these kind of players who are kind of the top young players in the K-League.
Yeah.
They're all out there in Cambodia trying to start on their quest to get that Olympic medal and military exemption, and they'll be the players to look out for in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it is obvious for me to point to a Jeonnam player, but I do think that Han Chan-hee definitely has a lot to offer in the midfield. Again, not that Korea is lacking for midfielders, but I think that he's very versatile, can go both ways, and he's somebody that I am hoping to see get some more minutes in K2 and to have a good run in that league this year. And like you said, Kim Dae-won with Daegu is someone that's just really impressing right now. He's looked great in the league. He's holding his own really well in Champions League.
That goal against opening day at the ground. Sorry, the new ground against Jeju. He also did well against Gwangju as well.
Yeah, he's somebody. And again, I think seeing him play that well in an international stage, that young, I think bodes really well for what he could do with a national team.
Maybe I don't know about the next World Cups. He'd be 23 by the next World Cup. He could be in contention, but I still think John Sejin. It's a Scott Whitelock pick, obviously, but I think it's one I'm willing to back as well. I thought he looked really good for Suwon. He's done really well at the youth levels for Korea. It depends how much the current Suwon manager plays him in the wrong positions at the moment, but he's
making him versatile.
He's making him versatile. He is. He's just one to keep tabs on, I think.
He's also over there in Cambodia trying to start on that quest for the Olympic medal. And it's a bit tough for those guys. They've got to finish top in that group of four or as one of the best runners-up. That would normally be not too difficult, but in that group's Australia, so it could be a bit of a challenge, bit of an early banana skin. If they get through that, they get to the kind of Asian championships, and then if they get to the latter stages of that, they'll be in the Olympics, where they can maybe then get into the group stage, pass the group, sort of way through the knockouts, and get an Olympic medal. So there's a long way to go.
It's quite a slog getting those medals. I mean, we just look at it every 2 years and say, oh, Asian Games, Olympics, but there's a lot of slog that goes into it beforehand.
Yeah, and opportunities like this where they're potentially missing out on the senior national team, where I think a lot of these guys could have earned a call up this time. So it's a bit of a sacrifice in that way, but I don't think they'll see it that way if they can earn military exemption.
Well, if you look at Bento's choices, he's picked a lot of players who've played in that Asian Games squad, so he's definitely going to be keeping an eye on them, even if they're not in the national team at this stage. He'll be watching all those matches, reading all the scout reports from those matches, and you know, they're the players that he'll be looking at in the future.
Definitely. What's next?
One more question. It comes from Kim Yun-sok from Seoul. Are K-League clubs giving young players enough opportunities?
Well, this is an interesting one. This year, as our own Jung Myo has been talking a lot about on Twitter, the rule for youth players in K-League has dropped from a U23 player needing to be in the starting lineup to a U22 player needing to be in the starting lineup. I don't know that 1 year is making that much of a difference. Before we came on, Steve, you were kind of talking about it might be nice if it was more than one player as opposed to taking a year off of that age.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's been kind of happening at the moment. I just did a quick tally of some of the teams in their opening, not in their opening games, in their fixtures last weekend. I just quickly looked at Jeonbuk and Ulsan because they are the two teams who, at the start of the season, everybody's expecting to be challenging for the title. Mm-hmm. And yeah, both of them only had the one Korean player who was under 25 in a starting lineup last weekend, and a few players who were 25. So there's, I'm guessing, not to pick on those two clubs, there's a lot of, all of the other clubs are doing a similar thing. So I think for me, it'd be nice to, rather than change that rule like that, maybe to change it to two players who are under 23, because these teams have really good youth players. We've seen them coming through. Yep. We've seen them coming through at Jeonbuk with players like Kim In-jae and stuff, who once they got their chance in the team, really kept it. So I think it'll be better if there's more young players. There's still a lot of the kind of teams built around the older players.
Yeah. I think for me, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but with military service being something that most players are going to have to do, I think Sangju shifting to being a youth development squad would be great. And again, we've talked about this a little bit before, but there are a lot of really talented 20, 21-year-olds that can't quite break into a full K1 or K2 side right now. And if the military team, instead of getting players, frankly, in the peak of their career when they're 27, 28 years old, if that shifted to being like serving double duty and doing military service and youth development, if we could get some young players, some 20, 21-year-olds, meaningful minutes right now in K1, even if they were to get relegated down into K2, that's still a really good league for players of that age to be developing. I'm not saying the whole team needs to be that way, but for me, you know, that's a team that has to be all Korean players. There are no foreign spots on that club.
Well,
you know,
saw it with Hwang In-bom, right? He went in there like when he's young at the start of his career, and now he's finished his exemption, but he would have finished it by now or pretty soon anyway.
Right.
And then he can go and get that move abroad if he wants, or he can play for one of the top teams and get in a squad and play every single game for a top team, you know, like Jeonbuk or like Ulsan, because he's got that experience behind him.
Well, that experience that he had with Asan last year was key. And I think a lot of that does come down to having Ju Sae-jung and Im Young-ju in the squad with him, which is some of the older players, obviously. But again, for me, I guess then my short answer to the question would be no, I don't think K-League clubs are giving youth players enough minutes. And to me, there is a built-in solution because we have a military team in the first division right now that they're not going to be challenging for the title. I know they're in first right now, which is kind of amazing, but they're not going to stay there for the season. And they are a team that I think once reality sits in a little bit, I think they're going to be at the bottom of the table fighting against relegation. But again, to me, compulsory military service and youth development being combined just makes a lot of sense for Korean football.
It's got to be something that's kind of led by the league, because if you're the manager of the team, your job's to win the games. And if you pick a load of young players and then lose every game, like you end up at the bottom of the league. I mean, we've seen several teams do that in the last few seasons out of necessity because they've had their budgets cut or whatever and couldn't get high wage players off their wage books that had to play young players, then it cost them in the league. Mm-hmm. And if you're the manager, you lose your job and then maybe lose your whole career because of that. So it's got to be not based on the manager, but based on above that. And I think when they've changed this rule, they should have maybe instead of changed it from 1 year younger to two players rather than one.
Yeah, that could have helped as well.
Mm. I think I'm just going to bite you all up on that. I mean, I think there's a full in-depth podcast in there somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something that, again, maybe we don't need to go into it in full detail right now, but I think opening up the pyramid beyond the first two divisions would help with that massively.
No, definitely. I think there's more opportunities to develop professionally and get scouted. I also think, as well, they need to look back at the contract rules as well.
Yes.
I don't know if the positives and negatives, but at the moment the negatives mainly stand out to me is those players can't earn more than a certain amount because they're under a certain age. And
well, Kim Min-jae is the example that we've talked about many times with that, because why would he turn down a move to China to go make a couple million dollars a year when he was on a couple hundred thousand dollars a year here? And that was most Jumbo could pay him.
And there's three categories to that, and there's a lot to go into on that, which I think...
There's a bit like John Wick's hands are almost tied because of the way the salaries are set up. Yeah. They can't really pay a young player that much without losing one of their older players.
Well, one of the rumours was when Kim Bok-young left was to free up space for EJ Sung, who had become of age, to have a nice new contract. So it was the EJ Sung who had been winning these, getting in the team, the best teams and everything. He was on an under-23 contract for ages, and then he was 24 when... or 25 when Kim Bok-young left, and he could finally have an increase in pay, I think. So, it needs a bit of overhaul, I think.
Yeah, and to me, again, I think if the pyramid opened up a little bit, or even just, I'd like to see some of the K2 clubs just kind of focus on youth a little bit more. It's something that I thought Jeonnam was going to do moving into this season, and don't get me wrong, I'm happy with the K1 talent that stuck around on that club, but the schools down in Gwangyang have always done a good job of developing youth talent, and I thought that was one of the things that they were going to do, and I was excited to see that as a project for the national team and just for Korean football in general, of just focusing on youth, because there really aren't any teams that strictly do that right now. And I think if there was one team that could do it and find some success with it, then that's something that we might see more of. But again, maybe it needs to be a top-down approach where the league or the KFA just kind of tell Sangju Sangmu, like, hey, get players that are younger. Start recruiting younger players, and maybe Hwang Eun-bum's success is something that could lead to more of that. Let's hope so. Mm-hmm.
Well, they are actually taking in, I know they're taking in at least 2 24-year-olds in the summer at Sangju, from what I've heard. So,
which is younger than they usually do.
A lot younger than what they normally take. Yeah. So
hopefully we can see that kind of continue and that trend happen to get some more young players into the squad, and hopefully some more strikers, because it'd be nice to have more than two forwards in rotation for the national team. But I think that is about going to do it for the mailbag then. So with that, we are going to go ahead and get out of here after we tell you that we would love if you subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or TuneIn Radio, any place where you get your podcasts. If you subscribe and leave a review, we're going to have some new merch soon. I'll go ahead and drop that preview here. We're going to have some stuff to give away sooner than later. So if you leave a review, and again, puns, love puns, anything in there, or just any review in general. Well, friendly ones, hopefully. But hey, you do you. Anyway, leave us a review on there and we'll enter you into a giveaway contest. And as always, if you don't want to listen and download and take up all that space on your phone, then you can listen to us live on Football Nation Radio down in Australia. That is usually on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Korean time, but every now and again it is on Wednesdays. So just keep posted to Twitter and we'll let you know when we're on there. But for now, for Matthew Binns and Steve Price, thanks so much for listening.